It is 15 seconds after the hour of 12, and this is the month of April of the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by and making a part of your listening day. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family. This is the Rick Emerson Show. Hello there. It appears you're writing an office document. Can I help? It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. Here's the thing about the talking paperclip, though. And like everybody else, you have exactly the same response that I do, that everybody does, where you start typing the thing, and then the friggin' paperclip just appears and starts trying to talk to you.
Starts dancing on the little piece of paper.
Starts skateboarding around and juggling and, you know, it's whistling at you and tapping. You know what really F's me up is when he taps on the screen and it makes that bump, bump, bump noise. It's kind of freaky. It's like the paperclip is trying to bust out of the machine and go for your jugular somehow. And so you do the same thing I do, as everybody does, which is you're immediately just looking for the go away button. And there ought to be just some big button. Attention, Microsoft. There really ought to be some big button on the keyboard that just says, like, no. And that button just stops whatever the computer's trying to do. You know what I mean? Pop-up window, some link you didn't mean to go to. It's reformatting everything into the Wingdings font. Doesn't matter. Big button, like, no, stop it now. And it would also be a paperclip be gone. But then, here's what happens. I'll get into writing a business letter, and then I realize that I don't know, like, where the date goes or something. And I don't know whether the addressee's address goes on top or the addresser's address goes on top. Who knows? This is like the scoring in tennis. It's just made up by rich people to screw with the rest of us. And then I can never find the goddamn paperclip.
Hi.
Sorry. I got onto a
what
whole thing.
What was this about?
That was for Steve in Vancouver.
Now, Rick Emerson talking like Jerry Seinfeld.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We are here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, as if you had any doubts. Thank you for coming along and listening to us today. If you want to email, it's rick@rickemerson.com. Here's what's coming up. We've got, and I didn't get to this yesterday, and this is not a thing where I teased it and then we ran out of time. I just, like, flat out forgot. Or as my grandmother would say, I plumb done forgot. I forgot to do the Xbox files. That's nobody's fault but mine. It's on my shoulders. I take all the blame and responsibility.
Oh, darn.
We failed to do the Xbox files yesterday. Today, a new episode of the Xbox files. We will get to that. Let's see. Scotty J today screening the calls. Scotty Downey from Film Fever. In later today, we're going to talk about the 10 most anticipated films of the summer. 10 most anticipated movies of the summer. Snakes in a Plane. This is according to Entertainment Weekly. Snakes on a Plane, inexplicably, not number one. Number one is... well, that's obviously crap. And like half of them are movies I've never even heard of. So they're anticipated by some guy somewhere. Some guy works in an office at Entertainment Weekly. We'll talk about that. We got your Geek Watch coming up today. We have a double corpse watch, actually. I think only half of which Tim Riley currently has. I'll give you the other half. We've got that. What else? We're going to do the top five. Top five most divisive musical acts of all time. And I got to say, it's old news. We read it yesterday, but it is worth repeating again. Oregon's top liquor control administrator has resigned following a weekend drunken driving accident and arrest. Sometimes
you need your dun dun dun.
I'm sorry. Yeah, let me try that one more time. Oregon's top liquor control administrator has resigned following a weekend drunken driving accident and arrest. I'm a big bug-eyed hypocrite with a leathery face. Oh, it's fantastic. Due to circumstances that I deeply regret, which is looking like some sort of lab experiment, first of all. Well, we'll talk about it later. In fact, we may just read this at the top of every hour just for our own amusement. That's coming up. And like us at 3, world famous Phil Hendrick Show at 7. On, I got the story about some corpses that were in a freezer. And then there was a power outage. So we'll get to that. Other stuff. I don't bother to pimp it right now. Dude. Who knows if we'll get to it or not. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, who's wearing some... that's an interesting outfit you have on today.
I made it.
Did you make that yourself?
Uh-huh.
Sort of a farmer's daughter kind of a look. And I mean that in a good way. It's just, it's like a half vest thing. Tim, how would you describe that?
The Ellie Mae Clampett look, kind of.
Wow, I sound
with
hot.
Only the best intentions.
It's fantastic.
She always looked well on that program.
On your way to a dog patch wedding. All right. And, yeah, so forth.
I rode downtown with my roommate this morning. You know how you're riding with someone who's obviously faster than
is
you?
Is it like a bike ride or a car ride?
On the handlebars? Or...
No.
On a bicycle built for two?
On a bicycle. No, just for one.
Okay.
But he's, like, super athletic, and so I was trying to keep up with him and not be the winded, you know, like...
Oh, so he's bicycling, and then you're bicycling behind him.
Yeah, so we were trying to pace to the... It was really embarrassing.
Hey, it's always a point of pride with me when I am the bicyclist passing someone else. I like to be that guy.
I'm never the passer. My bike's too heavy.
Well, but see, but it's like I'll pass somebody, and then later though you hear that, and then like the Lance Armstrong guy with the biceps of the, and the calves
with the mirror
of steel
sticking out on the side of his head.
Oh, he's got the stupid like skin tight like yellow pants and whatnot. Yeah, and he's got the mirror. He's totally got the helmet with the light mounted like back in the helmet. He's got like the Camelback water thing. I am not that guy.
Don't forget pulling the little baby wagon in the back so the baby can breathe in all that carbon monoxide.
I hate that thing. Can I just tell you, here's some things that I hate.
All right.
Here's some things that I hate. And we're just going to get these out of the way right now because they're not enough to make a whole show out of.
Just something.
I hate that stupid yellow baby thing that people are always towing their children in on a bicycle. I don't hate that, though, as much as it's like a tandem bike, but it's a tandem bike for like one adult and one child, or like one adult and one midget, you know, it's like a regular bike in front, and then welded onto the back is like some bicycle for like a 2-year-old, and the kid's never doing his share of the work either. Kid's just there being pulled along. Here's the reason why I despise those: A, because it's part of the cutesification of this country, which I hate, and B, I instinctively dislike those people because I can't imagine how much one of those bicycles costs. It's got to cost one of those has got to cost like a grand, and you can and like everything designed for 2-year-olds, you can only use it for like a year before the kid outgrows it. So I just despise those people because they got enough disposable income to be on my death list. But neither of those things are as bad as this. And you know what I'm talking about because you've seen these people downtown. Why now does everyone have to have a baby carriage that is like the size of an SUV? You know what I'm talking about? They got the thick ass tires. Like the baby carriages with the huge like mountain bike tires.
Well, obesity starts at a much younger age now.
Seriously. Just stop feeding your children glucose.
Wait, gulp.
You know what I'm saying? Seriously. Does mama's little angel want some lumps of brown sugar? It's you know what, those baby carriages where they're like a double wide now. Mm-hmm. And they're massive. Keep your fat ass children at home. Flick your horrible youngsters on the rest of us. All right. That's some stuff I hate. Tim Riley's at the City Desk working on the following stories today.
Jose, can you see? The Spanish version of the national anthem is raising eyebrows nationwide. The president is beginning to catch on. He may not be as popular as he once was.
Things may have had some reversals.
People are flocking to the internet for recipes on how to make their own gasoline. And the Domino's delivery man also delivers corpses out of the same car.
Fantastic. Tangy. All right, so all that's coming up today. Plus, we'll read this OLCC story like a dozen times. Xbox files, top five, so forth. And I do have to note, by the way, I've had, if this show, this show's off to a fantastic start, which is great considering that I've had by, what must be considered by any objective standard, like the worst morning in the history of my life.
Really?
What happened?
Things started off well. I'm glad you asked, Tim. Things started off well because it be a pretty good show yesterday.
It was.
In its own way. And then after the show, we did an interview with the Portland Tribune. Don Taylor from the Portland Tribune is here. The little piece that's going to be coming up. So the evening ended well. Go home, get a good night's sleep, wake up this morning. So I wake up, A, I oversleep. B, and then when you oversleep, everything else, that's when all the other things go wrong. Nothing goes wrong when you wake up 2 hours early. When you wake up late, that's when everything else, like some James Thurber sketch, everything just implodes. So this morning, here's me. Wake up, and I don't have coffee in the morning. I have tea in the morning because I'm a sissy, and I got to ramp up. So I pour myself...
With your gong alarm clock?
Yeah, with my Zen clock. So I pour the hot cup of black tea, you know, pour in the skim milk or whatever, you know, whatever sissy food my wife puts in the house now. Let it sit, come back later, down in the tea, and then I get to the bottom of the teacup, and all the milk has sunk to the bottom in big chunks because it's bad.
Oh.
The milk is like a week, you know, past like the must drink by date. All the milk has sunk to the bottom in big, like fleshy curds because the milk is like rancid. And so the good news is I didn't drink most of it because again, it was all rotten and sank to the bottom. And I'm all, yeah! You know, right over to the sink. But then, like, you know that you drank a bunch of it. And I couldn't tell. Like, it wasn't bad enough for me to die. I was half asleep, so I couldn't tell. But, like, you know you've ingested, like, rotten milk. And then there's, like, not enough toothbrush in the world for that. Because you're, like, in the bathroom, like, scrubbing out your mouth. You can still taste it. It's like when you're cutting up a corpse and trying to dispose of the body, and then you can smell it for weeks afterward in your clothing.
That happens to me every time.
I'm telling you.
In the TV studio downstairs once, there was this huge fly flying around, and I couldn't find it anywhere. Like, finally, it just stopped, and it was circling me. Looked at my coffee cup, like, while I took a big sip of my coffee. And this giant black thing bumped into my lip. It was so wrong. I couldn't drink coffee for 2 months.
And you're wanting to, like, scrape up your teeth with like, borax?
Yeah.
Good morning, Northwest.
All right, I'm sorry, and what else happened to you?
No, no, so I drank a bunch of rotten milk. It was it was chunky milk. It's the worst. Wow. It was like Jell-O. It was like milk-flavored Jell-O. What else? Am I almost out of time here?
Sure.
No, keep going. You got 3 hours.
We can keep going.
All right. So I did drink all this bad milk. Then I'm running late. I'm like, I got to get my clothing ready. So I put on this shirt, which I now realize I've lost enough weight that this shirt is now way too big for me. So the small shirts are too small. The big shirts are too big. I've got nothing. It looks like I'm wearing a clown outfit today because the shirt's like four times the size it should be. So it's all baggy and whatnot. But I'm trying to make it look good. So I spray, you know, I use starch because I got to fold up everything in the bag because it gets all wrinkled in the bike ride in. So I starch the hell out of all my shirts. I starch it. I overstarch and I iron too soon. And so then it's covered in like myriad white flakes.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like I've been standing outside in like a cocaine blizzard. So that happens to me. Okay, then, do you remember that thing I was telling you yesterday? This is completely true. That phobia I was telling you yesterday where I'm always afraid. I have these recurring daymares where I get to work and I don't have any pants. Okay, I'm about halfway to work today. Realize, didn't bring any pants. And I'm riding in. I'm on my bike at like OMSI, which is about the halfway mark. No, I'm wearing pants now because I had to go back home. But, of course, when you're on your bike, there's no quick turnaround. It's like, you know, it's like 15 minutes back and then another 15 minutes back to where you were when you realized you had no pants. So I suddenly, in the back of my mind, I'm like, wait a minute. I don't think I brought any pants. So I go back home. There they are right on the ironing board.
Was the iron still on?
No, it was not because... But that's a thing I've done like 100 times. Have to go back and check the iron a million times to make sure it's off. And I'm one of those guys, I just need a webcam that just points at the iron. So I can log onto the computer 100 times a day and make sure the iron is still off.
Oh, an iron cam.
I do that all the time.
I do that with my stove, even if I haven't used it
A
week.
3 blocks away. Gotta go back home and check the iron.
No, I've almost driven, when I'm driving to Bremerton, I could swear that I've left my apartment door wide open. And I've actually turned around, about 10 minutes outside of town just to make sure. It's always locked.
I didn't get the deadbolt. I gotta go home. And I'm in like tigered. I've actually done this. I've actually been inside the mall shopping. And I'll have to leave the mall and walk back out to the parking lot because I don't know if my parking brake is on. Why do you need the goddamn parking brake? You don't. It's pointless. Friggin' pointless.
It's so neat to find someone who's kind of like me.
I'll be in a changing room at the Gap. Oh, I gotta check the parking brake. And then like running out to the car. Oh, thank God it's on. And then I'll be halfway from the car back to the mall and I'll go back and check the door to make sure the door on the car is locked.
We really need to start the show.
Here's the news with Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsweek. Tim Riley reporting. Okay, we're going to incorporate both the Bush Watch and Democracy on the March into Democracy on the March. That's exactly.
Ooh.
Oh, well, for the love of holy God.
Give it a good kick.
Why won't it stop?
For the love Make it of stop. God.
I'm clicking it. It's not stopping.
Oh, that's strange.
That's not good.
Maybe the mouse isn't connected.
And so then I have to go back out to my car to make sure the parking brake is on. Now the news with Tim. All right, what are we doing here?
Democracy on the March.
All right.
Okay, we got lots of W stuff today. He's been a very busy fellow. He is finally becoming aware that people don't like him as much as they used to. On the Today Show, he tries to figure out why.
There's a strong economy, and yet there's a certain unease. I think some of it has to do with gasoline prices that I had, which I addressed the other day. I mean, look, we're dependent upon oil, and when demand for oil goes up worldwide, it affects the price at the gasoline pump, and we've got to get off oil.
Yeah, we have to do that.
Yes, we have to do that. Why don't we start that now?
Try to think of some other reasons why you're not quite as popular as you were before, Mr. President.
There's uncertainty in the Middle East. There's Iraq. There's Iran. And that creates, even though the economy is strong, a sense of, you know, unease. But that it just means that we've got to complete the mission. And we will.
And the mission's what? Okay.
Finding weapons of mass destruction.
Excellent. Well, and I love how he phrases it as though the unease in the Middle East is a recent development, as though it's just, you know what I mean? Like it's an oddly shaped mole you've just discovered on your back. Like it wasn't there the other day. Now it's there.
There's uncertainty in the Middle East. There's Iraq. There's Iran.
It's all brand new.
And that creates, even though the economy is strong, a sense of, you know, unease. But that it just means that we've got to complete the mission, and we will.
That's a good question.
I have no idea what's going on.
I think he's on the Today Show.
It's like a Soylent Green machine or something operating in the back.
That was on the Today Show this morning.
All right. Hey, is it true that, what's her name, Rosie O'Donnell's taking over in The View?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have it right here.
Look at that. Look on Sarah's face. Yeah.
I thought this was an April Fool's joke. It still might be. The ladies of The View are keeping quiet about rumors that Rosie O'Donnell is set to join the show. Yesterday, Access Hollywood reported that the actress/comedian will be replacing Meredith Vieira as she leaves The View to take over for Katie Couric on NBC's Tonight Show.
Yeah.
On this morning's The View, the stars did not mention O'Donnell's name. Fifth View co-host Barbara Walters was absent. O'Donnell previously had her own Emmy award-winning show. It ran its syndication from 1996 to 2002. She was the queen of nice in those days.
All right.
But anyway, getting back to this. A controversial Spanish translation of the U.S. national anthem is due to hit the airwaves today, and we can thank the British for it because they're the ones who are producing it and sending it over here.
Really?
Yeah.
Gotta love the British.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, the president was asked about it, and he said, well, the national anthem should be sung in English.
I think the national anthem ought to be sung in English. Whatever. And I think people who want to be a citizen of this country ought to learn English, and they ought to learn to sing the national anthem in English.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's just so many thoughts fighting for space in my head right now. First of all, no one in this country can sing the goddamn national anthem to begin with in any language, all right? First, we're going to talk about the national. Why don't we start by getting an anthem that people can actually sing and perform?
I like America the Beautiful better.
It is a certain... America the Beautiful, there's a...
We are the world, because we are.
She's like the wind. There is a certain perverse irony to the fact that we have a national anthem that probably 1 in 10 people is able to perform flawlessly. Sarah, do you know all the words of the national anthem? You don't have to sing them. Do you know them?
Yeah, I do.
Go.
I'm not going to sing them.
How about...
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early... Okay. No, I don't.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. No one knows.
I like the Canadian national anthem.
Or the ramparts.
No, you've skipped like half a verse.
Oh.
What are ramparts?
I don't know. I don't know what half the
words. That's a bad place in L.A., isn't it?
That's that cop division where they were beating down immigrants and planting crack.
Well, that's good for the immigrants.
Or the ramparts we framed.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. It's a stupid anthem. Look, and I don't mean...
I like the Canadian national anthem better.
The national anthem of Canada is great. It's the, Canada, but it sounds like Tannenbaum.
Well, that's true, too, but when they sing it in French, it sounds different.
What is the... isn't there some great... What's the British national anthem?
God save the Queen.
Is it God Save the Queen? I mean, not the Sex Pistols version, clearly, but I mean, the whatever. Right. I don't even know. Is it God Save the Queen? Na, 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 na. Send big dogs after her to bite her bum.
No, it's the same tune as we have our own version with different words. My Country 'Tis of Thee.
Is it the same length?
It's the same song.
Everything is just stolen. Well, you know, our national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner,
right,
by Francis Scott Key, you know, that's stolen. It's stolen from a British beer drinking
song. Well, we steal all their reality TV shows.
No, it's true.
Them over here.
There is, I forget the name, but there was a British beer hall song. That we stole the melody for. Mm-hmm. We kind of pulled a reverse Gallagher, Noel Gallagher, where we stole the melody from this British beer drinking song to create the national. The point is, it's a stupid freaking comment for Bush to make anyway, because there is no national language. That's the whole. And for a guy who gets out there in the campaign stump and says things like, coyote, and tries to give half of his speeches in Spanish incorrectly, I might add.
I think I said coyote. Yes.
Poorly. Yeah, but remember Bush said it a couple weeks ago. He was talking to immigrants. He's like,
oh, but I'm not running for public office.
No, and you don't sound like a nitwit when you do it. The way Bush, well, we have people coming across the border with coyotes. And he sounds like Dana Carvey impersonating his dad. Anyway, the point is this. It's a stupid thing to say because there is no national language in this country. Now, there ought to be. I mean, everyone sort of knows that, even though they don't admit it. There ought to be a national language, and it probably should be English because that's what everybody in the world has to speak anyway. If you work at any air traffic tower.
If you want to make over minimum wage, you must speak English.
You have to. It's just a practical financial reality.
And if you
reality.
Don't want to learn it, well, then you make minimum wage.
That's
more power to you.
I mean, look, I
don't think industry's going to complain to you.
I got to have somebody to shine my shoes.
Yep, absolutely.
So, you know, as I'm saying, it's like, you know, if you don't want to speak English and if you don't want to teach your kids to speak English,
so be it.
That's fine. It's certainly your right. And I'll be expecting you to come by and do some hedge trimming around my house. Mm-hmm. But if you want your kids to succeed and if you want to succeed, learn to speak goddamn English. It's just
it is the language of business.
It is the language of business. If you work in any air traffic controller tower in this world, they may require you to speak English. It's the only language you're required to know.
Forget about being bilingual. The plane would crash by the time you get the message out.
Totally. Can we get the guy? Can you get the guy from the kitchen up here? There's some plane accident. If you work at any stock trading market in any country in the world, you are required to speak English. It is the de facto language of this world. And that's just a fact.
And if you want to be poor, don't learn it.
That's what I'm so, you know. But until such time as we have an official language, and it's just a stupid thing to say.
So there.
I want to get the national anthem done in Klingon. Somebody get on that. Jim, whatever. You get on that. Somebody send me the national anthem in Klingon if you've got it laying around. Don't go for a lot of work or anything for it. But if you've got the national anthem in Klingon, you send that my way. We'll start playing that.
Well, some people have become so desperate to find cheaper fuel for their cars, they began making ethanol at home. There are a dozen websites explaining how to do it. So we won't do it here. Go look for it yourself. Self-service gas can finally come to New Jersey under a plane and veil that would save people money, or so they think.
Uh-huh.
New Jersey and Oregon are the only states that require
it. But it has nothing to do with gas. Gas is not demonstrably cheaper where they pump their own gas, is it?
No,
it's a stupid plan. That's one of the great things about living in Oregon. Mm-hmm. That and the sales tax thing. It's what I'm, you know, so it handicaps you when you go to other states where you sit there and you wait for the guy, you know, and then you realize you're going to do it yourself and you're always spilling gas on your pant leg and, yeah.
Then we have dozens of gasoline stations running out of gas in Texas. Suppliers say stations around Houston and Dallas out of gasoline. Then Chevron has announced its record earnings. Their profits have soared 49% to $4 billion.
That's good. I'm glad we can help them out.
Senate Republicans tried yesterday to get the upper hand in the escalating gasoline price, proposing to give us all $100, but that wouldn't even be half a tank full. The Republicans have proposed also opening up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, which never, ever happens. And Ron Wyden, who comes from Oregon, tent up the Senate for almost 5 hours being stubborn about it.
Okay.
Meanwhile, the president says he's investigated and has found no evidence of gas price gouging.
I have no evidence that there's any ripoff taking place.
No.
But it's the role of the Federal Trade Commission
to assure me that my
inclination and instincts is right. More importantly, it's up to the Federal Trade Commission to assure the American people that they're being treated fairly at the pump.
So
sounds like Scott McClellan now.
I was going to say, he's having to do all his own work. Yep. Scott McClellan's not around. Tony's nose on the job. Bush is out there having to, like... It's like when you're, it's like when you're, somebody's gone and you're having to, I don't know, there was an analogy there. But about halfway through, his words just begin to run together and it's just gibberish. Listen.
I have no evidence that there's any ripoff
after
taking
inclination.
Place, but it's the role of the Federal Trade Commission to assure me that my inclination and instincts is right. More importantly, it's
instincts.
Up to the Federal Trade Commission to assure the American people that they're being treated fairly at the pump.
So let me understand this. So it's up to the Federal Trade Commission not actually to investigate, but just to make us believe the explanation that Bush has already arrived at. And what exactly, how does George Bush investigate these things? Does he have, like, his Encyclopedia Brown, hat on?
He's on the internet.
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone's getting mad that, everyone in the White House is getting mad that Iran is ignoring us. So we might have to bomb them into submission. The president says Iran and Iraq should not be compared to each other.
There was resolution after resolution after resolution.
He sounds drunk.
Iraq had invaded its neighbors. Iraq was shooting at U.S. aircraft. Iraq had actually used weapons of mass destruction on its people before. There's a difference.
Okay, so what's the difference?
I don't understand. So are we not going to invade Iran?
Oh, we are. Sooner or later.
I have no idea what this sound clip is even about.
Well, people are being upset because we want to invade Iran and they're not cooperating with us.
Okay.
And people are saying, oh, it's going to become another Iraq. And he's saying they're two very different countries.
One is Iraq and one is Iran.
Right. But he doesn't give the reason why we're so mad at Iran.
Okay.
Well, that's it for Democracy on the March for now.
All right. Well,
I hope it made plenty of sense to everyone.
No. 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 We got more coming up, including CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgart. Some guy tried to jump off the Empire State Building.
With a parachute.
With a parachute and a fat suit.
Uh-huh.
And a wig, and like a clown wig.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a guy, he was with a parachute, and he was like, I'm going to jump. And he made it all the way to the top. Well, we'll find out more. So Gary Baumgart.
He should have dressed up as like King Kong. That would have been better.
Gary Baumgart's going to talk about that. Later on, Jim Roop's going to talk about these idiots who are going to... They're going to tie everything up on Monday. That'll be a lot of fun.
Everyone go out and buy a head of lettuce today, so we won't be expected.
Hey, sir, we'd be proud. Later on, Scott Daly will be here. Top five, all that. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland, Johnson 970. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. By the way, we've been handed this. Bobby Vinton, really?
That picture has to be like 40 years old. It's like Jerry Lewis, but he has that skinny guy with a long nose.
It's like
Labor Day telethon. He hasn't looked that way in 60 years.
This is like how Imus has been using that same publicity. Like Imus, if you work at a radio station and you get the press kit from the Imus people... and it's like, you know, add the I-Man to your lineup. And it's this picture of him from, like, it's got to be from, like, the old, like, WNBC days where it's like...
WNBC.
He's got the full head of hair and he doesn't look all desiccated. He doesn't look like some sort of mummified wooden cigar store Indian that they spackled with makeup, which is kind of what he looks like now. Doesn't look like an embittered...
He's at a drag show.
Totally. Just like the world's oldest, bitterest drag queen. I mean, I love Imus and all, but that NBC lighting is not flattering.
No.
Whoever's doing Imus's makeup and lighting should be fired and killed. Anyway, so this is the Chinook Winds Casino Resort.
Now, we question whether or not Don Rickles was still alive.
But here he is performing and unchanged.
He never has to change that publicity photo because he was born 60 years old.
He has never looked... I can't tell if this is a recent photo of him.
Can I see what he looks like? I don't know.
Or not. It's right here on the far, the tuxedo.
Oh, okay.
He was in Casino. You may have seen him there.
And he looks exactly the same as wherever I've seen him.
I think he was the voice of Mr. Potato Head and Toy Story.
Mm-hmm.
Don Rickles has never, ever, ever changed. You know what I picked up the other day? I don't talk about it later. I don't have time. It's 503-733-2970. The point is Don Rickles is coming, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll be there. Oh, and David Cassidy.
What would David Cassidy be doing? He doesn't tell jokes, or he probably doesn't sing.
Is it
anything.
Possible that he's going to sing something?
Oh, maybe.
Maybe he'll just sit there and go, oh, my dad was mean to me. Have you read his book?
No.
It's a whole lot of, like, Daddy never gave me a birthday party when I was a kid.
Well, Daddy died in a fire.
Yeah. Well,
smoke it.
Apparently he had it coming. Let's move on. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from New York City. A good friend and CNN radio correspondent to the stars and man about town. And bon vivant, and Esquire, and something, damn it, I almost made it. Gary Baumgarten, how are you, Gary?
I'm going to record this one of these days so that I can, you know, when I meet a girl in a bar, I'm going to say, listen, this is me being described on the radio.
Just go ahead. Have you ever listened to the Rick Emerson Show? Rick and I are...
Yeah, we're best pals.
Rick has spoken glowingly of me in the past. Do you have any idea what David Cassidy might be doing when he comes to perform, by any chance?
I have no clue. He's going to do Daddy Dearest, huh?
I read his book, Come On, Get Happy.
Mm-hmm.
Great book, by the way, but I mean, every other page is, screw my dad, he's a jerk, you know, and it's like, it's nothing. Here's David Cassidy's book, and it is kind of disturbing. David Cassidy's book it's every other page. Every page is either something about how his dad is a jerk and didn't love him and didn't buy him like a pony, or how many groupies he had sex with, like at the height of the Partridge Family days. And it's, and like, it, things you, like, there's certain celebrities where you read their tell-all sex books. And I mean, it's maybe even if it's not arousing, it's sort of titillating, you know. You're
right,
sort of,
right.
Like Geraldo's
Cassidy.
Well, like Geraldo's book was that way. Geraldo's right. book was great because it was like Bette Midler wanted to have sex 50 times a day, and you read David Cassidy's book, and it's just sort of icky. Like he's talking about, like, you know, and then I had to straddle the gear shift in the Vespa, or whatever his 70s car was, you know. And then he's talking about having sex with some morbidly obese groupie, like, and the gear shift gets in the way. And it's all, you're reading this going, why am I reading this?
Right.
And why are you writing this, David Cassidy?
Well, there'd be
it
plenty of them
like
out of
his, casino. He has the same way that Eminem talks about his mother.
Oh, yeah. It's just all weird.
Yeah.
Hey, so tell me about this guy. He wasn't able to jump, right? There was a guy who tried to jump off the Empire State Building.
Yeah, and those darn cops and security guards stopped him. His name is Jeb Ray Corliss IV. I think he has like a show on the Discovery Channel or
really?
Something like that. I don't know. But apparently he's well known. He lives in California and he does all these daredevil things and videotapes it and puts on his reality television show. And so he decided he was going to parachute from the observation deck of the Empire State Building, and of course he wanted the publicity, so he notified the media, so all the photographers are gathered around, and you can't notify that many people without the cops hearing about it.
Sure, clearly.
So the cops and the security guards had the observation deck staked out, so this guy, he puts on this foam costume where he looks like an old man with a balding head and pudgy and everything, and underneath that he's wearing the parachute and the jump gear. And so he's, you know, going up there, oh, I want to take a look, Oliver, you know, and then all of a sudden they notice this old guy is climbing over the railing. And, well, I guess maybe at that point he had jumped out of that uniform, that costume. And so they grabbed a hold of him, and he's struggling with them, and they handcuff him to the railing to make sure that he couldn't jump. He had a video camera hooked up to his helmet. So, I don't know where he thought he was going to be able to get away with it.
I don't know. Now, has anybody, I should know this sort of thing, but has anybody ever successfully jumped, and I don't mean suicide attempts, but I mean...
I don't think so.
No one's ever really gone...
I don't think so, no.
Has anybody tried to do a parachute thing and died and failed?
I don't think anybody's ever parachuted from the Empire State Building. I think that we would have heard something about previous attempts in the coverage of this today. This happened yesterday, so by now we would have heard some.
Nobody
suggested that.
I always wonder exactly how high you have to be before you can do it, because there's this building downtown, obviously, nothing.
How high you have to be in terms of height, or how high you have to be on drugs?
Perhaps both.
Yeah.
I was downtown the other day, there's this building, Wells Fargo building, which obviously, the buildings here, of course, they pale in comparison to those in Manhattan, but it's a fairly tall building, and I remember I was sitting there, I was actually waiting for the bus, and I'm looking up at the Wells Fargo building, and I'm thinking, that's a tall building, and I found myself idly wondering,
right,
this is actually maybe disturbing, but this is, I always, when I see a tall building, I look up and I imagine people jumping off the top and what would happen, and I remember wondering the other day whether you could parachute from the top. There's got to be some formula or something for that.
I'm sure there is, and I'm sure the people who skydive could answer that question.
How
much time you need to be able to pull the ripcord, but can you imagine if he did that and start landing on people below in New York City
or heading in
traffic? I mean, he's an idiot.
I gotta tell you, and I don't have like a traditional fear of heights, but standing on top of the Empire State Building is freaky. That will give you a fear of heights.
It's a beautiful view.
It's a beautiful view. You can see like four states or something, but it's you look down and it's like it's human nature. You just imagine yourself plummeting off the top, and man, that'll tighten you up.
Yep.
So, all right, my friend. Have a good weekend.
Take care.
There you go. Gary Baumgarten, CNN radio correspondent.
How tall is that bank building downtown?
Wells Fargo? I don't know. Maybe Scott Daly
knows. I thought Big Pink was higher. The Big Pink building.
I don't know. Well, what is the we're not the tallest building anymore.
I don't think so.
I think it might be that Big Pink building.
What is the one, the Razor, the one that looks like, then there's the Wells Fargo thing, and that's big. Well, this is a stupid line of conversation. We're on the radio. No one can see what we're talking.
It's not like we're asking anybody to do it.
Anyway, the point is David Cassidy is coming at the Chinook Winds Casino.
$10.
I almost want to go just to see what he does. Oh, and Wynonna Judd, she's had some work done.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, last time I saw her, I wonder if
not around her waist, though.
I
I wonder if these are real. Well, very tellingly, the photo, it's like a neck up photo. I wonder how recent these photos are, because Winona, she was a large woman. Leanne Rimes, you know, sometimes you just can't cover up the trash. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter how many times you paint over that rotten wood at the house, it still looks like rotten wood. Leanne Rimes, I spotted from like day one when she was like 10 that she was a hoe. And you can she's never been able to hide it. You know what I mean? You know who Leanne Rimes looks like? And I'm not passing judgment on anybody, but I'm speaking simply physically now.
Yeah.
I'm not passing judgment on the character of anybody.
No.
Leanne Rimes looks like Dennis's wife, Brandy. Or are they married?
Yeah.
Are they married?
I think they're married.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're married because he always talks about his wife and baby.
I thought she was just like a baby mama.
No, they're married.
Okay, well, whatever. That's who Leanne Rimes kind of looks like, her. All right. Well, I'm done talking about this now. The point is Don Rickles and David Cassidy. Buy tickets now. Oh, these people are calling about skydiving, I'll guarantee you. Hey, where the hell
Where's
is
Scotty?
Scotty J?
Oh,
as soon as I call him out, the lines get answered. All right, he'll get to those. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, pornography is turning into a booming business on the Oregon coast.
Woo!
Spicy Adult Video is the second adult superstore to open along Highway 101 in the past year. The third, Wayne's Adult World, opened in Astoria in January 2005. The latest store has already attracted protests and even a county protest by teenagers holding signs saying, "We love porn."
Eh, fantastic. That's so great. Goddamn.
Much to
joyless.
The ire of Pastor Doug Smith of the Newport Church of the Nazarene.
I don't even know what a Nazarene is. Is that to me for you're from Nazareth?
I'm not sure.
All right, whatever. You know, if I didn't have better things to do with my life. Because, you know, they always do that thing where, like, you know what we're going to do is we're going to take photographs of people who are coming in and out of the porn store.
Well,
we're
going
to point them on the website. We really ought to get, like, a whole parcel of people and just go down there and pose for the cameras while buying huge vibrators.
Well, he complains, this is the first full 24/7 Walmart-style store complete with videos in an arcade. Hear that, kid?
Okay, where is it again?
This is on Highway 101.
And what's it called?
It is called, Spice Adult Video.
And what, read his description again, because that sounds like a fantastic endorsement.
Mm-hmm. It is the first full 24/7 Walmart-style store complete with videos and an arcade.
There you go, kids.
In his region.
Good times.
Last year, the adult video rentals and sales topped $4 billion nationally. Smith says, it's time to draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he really loves this stuff.
He really does. Not unlike Teresa L. Kaiser from the OLCC, who was a clearly joyless prig of a woman whose job was to try to regulate the alcohol consumption of others. By the way, she's resigned following a weekend drunken driving arrest. You know, and the best part is her mugshot, where it's the whole, my life is over. My life is over. My career is in ashes.
If I move to Oklahoma, maybe nobody will know.
maybe I can start over in Idaho.
I'll start my own ministry.
Why are my eyes so huge? Why can't I keep my eyes in my head? Oh, boy. She looks like she's wearing some sort of a bad fright wig. You know what she looks like? She looks like that. What is that painting? The Scream? By Munch or Munch?
Oh,
or whatever.
Edward Munch.
Munch? She looks like the Scream, but she's not bald, although I think this might be a wig. But she kind of looks like the screaming person in this painting. So there you go. And so forth. Okay.
Meanwhile, a former West Lynn finance director is accused of embezzling almost $1.5 million from that city. Her name is Elma McCammett. She's charged with 114 felony charges, suspected of forging dozens of city checks and depositing them into her own account, stealing $1.4 million over 5 years. She initially admitted to forging five checks. But during a search of her Woodburn home, police seized cash, bank records, tax documents, and receipts from local casinos. I guess she's not going to be seeing Don Rickles or David Cassidy.
By the way,
she pays for it herself.
David Cassidy is 56. 56?
Wow.
Jesus God.
So his groupies are probably grandmothers by now.
Probably. And Don Rickles, any guess?
Oh, 80-something.
80. Turns 80 next week. I almost want to go see him. That really is tempting. Where is Chinook?
I don't think you almost do. I really think you
Chinook do. Chinook Winds is on the coast.
I do. I mean, again, just because he's the last of a generation. There's no one left after him.
You go do a little gambling, watch a little Rickles.
Mm-mm. When is that?
Soon. You got to drive on Highway 18, though, and that's a death trap.
June 9th and 10th.
I don't know when that is. I think I might actually
a two-day
go.
Show.
You know what I picked up the other day, though, is this this old record from the 70s, from 75. It was the best of Johnny Carson. Put out like a double vinyl collection of just audio. It was a huge disaster when they released it, because it's like no one was listening to Johnny Carson on record. What's the point? But now it's pretty great. It's hard to find. It's a collector's item. And it's got Don Rickles on there. And it's just a bunch of audio highlights. This is what they did before there were DVDs, kids. There was a bunch of audio highlights of the best moments from The Tonight Show. And it's just all the guys you want to hear. It's Dean Martin. It's Buddy Hackett. It's Jerry Lewis. It's Frank Sinatra. It's, you know, Joan Embry from the San Diego Zoo.
Oh, yeah.
It's just all, it's fantastic. And Rickles is on there. And funny. So, good stuff. Let's see. 503-733-2970. Well, let's take these in the order again. First up is George. George, what's up?
Yeah, hi. My boss was a British commando in Palestine in 47, and he had to jump out at 500 feet out of airplanes.
Right.
And he said that was the minimum safe height because one of his buddies kicked the guy in front of him out of the plane, kind of as a joke. And unfortunately, when he kicked him...
I'm sorry.
When he kicked him, he severed the guy's automatic ripcord thing.
Oh.
And so the guy didn't even have, within that 500 feet, by the time he realized his cord didn't deploy, it was too late.
Oh, so as a joke?
Yeah, he's just like, he was horsing around, you know, and he's like, get out of there.
That's a Monty Python type of humor that the British are famous for.
And more of that dry European wit. Watch me kick him out of the plane with no chute.
Well, no, he had a chute on, but he had this. You see, when they jump, there's so little time at 500 feet that they have to. They
and
have
so
a cord that
this was
to the plane.
So this was a sort of, you know, he's. So this is what's going on. Is the guy's? And he's plumbing. It's like a. Hold on, what's happened? I got to break.
Right across
that's
the posterior.
Yeah, that's totally good. All right.
So there, he died within like seconds. He had no chance.
Good time. Thank you, George. All right. That's a big ground sound, like ground, like a ground. I wonder if it'll be friends with you. That's it. There's a little geek shout out there. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend, the former godlike program director, Bruce Agler. Bruce.
Yes, sir.
You have parachute information. I know it.
I have Portland building height information.
Oh, okay.
Which dovetails quite well. The Wells Fargo building is 546 feet.
Okay, so you can make it there.
So a guy could, now I'm not telling anyone to do this, a guy could parachute off the Wells Fargo building if he was skilled in sort of base jumping.
Well, how's he going to jump far enough away from the building?
Oh, that's because it slants down at the bottom. You're right, it slants out.
Well, but I mean, you got to have room for the chute and everything. You'd have to have like a catapult or something to throw you off the building.
Forget about that one.
So, now the U.S. Bank building, the Big Pink,
yeah.
536 feet.
All right.
Although it's actually one more story. See, they wanted to make it taller, so it's, I think, 42 in the Wells Fargo 41.
Okay.
And you're high atop the bottom of number three. The coin building is 509 feet.
And this, you don't want to jump off it. Well, you couldn't jump off of this one even if you wanted to because it's pinnacles up at the top and you'd never clear the wall.
It would,
yeah.
You need a rocket sled there at the coin building.
So the only one you can do is the Pink Tower.
But if you had a catapult.
Well, even the Pink building, I mean, you're still going to be too close to the building. I don't know what this guy was thinking. I guess with those new chutes, you know, like the flying Elvis is used, I mean, maybe that would work.
Like a directional chute.
Yeah.
So, but again, or if you had some sort of a catapult or that other thing that's like a catapult, I forget what it's called, if it was able to hurl you off the roof of the building, but it hurls you too far. That's no good. That's no good. You got to be like a good, because the minute the catapults are throwing you, you're also losing altitude.
Right. Yeah. Well, it would definitely be tough with the Wells Fargo building, but maybe the Empire State Building. If you had some kind of catapult to get far enough away from the building, you're getting the shoot.
Yeah, because the Empire State Building again, it widens as you go down.
Exactly.
How about one of those big towers up on the hill?
That would obviously be even easier, but then you've got the guy wires, you see.
I guess we got to pick another city.
All the wires as you fall down.
I got to address this with the city. I got to talk to Tom Potter about this. All right, thank you, Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there you go. I knew he'd have the answer. All right, well, kids, we're not telling you to jump off buildings.
Not even if Briber the Twinkie or Fresca. Don't do it.
It would be wrong.
Yep, don't do it. That's a zany morning show thing.
That really is, too.
Someone with a reputation for starting trouble around town. And that definitely wouldn't be us.
That would be one of those things you'd read in All Access, though, about so-and-so mornings at Las Vegas FM talker, blah, 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 was fired after, you know, That's like the same. Those are the same morning shows that where they always think it's hilarious just to announce that someone's dead. You know, by the way, the president's dead. There you go. And like that's what passes for wit.
All right, up the satellite with him. Oh, wait a minute. Let's bring them back to terrestrial radio.
Here's Tim Riley.
Down for the corpse watch.
Here's your corpse watch.
I'm digging up bones. I'm digging up bones. Here in the Bronx. Exhuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of love that's dead and gone. Here tonight I'm sitting alone. Digging up bones.
So the headline for this is Spiffs and Slices.
Fantastic.
A Domino's delivery man transported pizza and corpses in the same car. Well, with gas prices being what they are,
sense. Well, that's what I'm saying. And it's like you're not making a whole lot of money at Domino's. You know, you have to multitask now.
Yep. Well, in what will surely repulse Pennsylvanians and apparently nobody else, a Domino's delivery man used a car to transport corpses to funeral parlors when he wasn't using the vehicle to bring pies and cheesy bread to pizza enthusiasts. It all started in Lower Southampton Township as the police department pulled over a 1993 Buick after noticing the vehicle did not have an inspection sticker. Incidentally, William Bethel, who's 24, was driving with a suspended license, so cops informed him that the vehicle was going to be impounded. According to the report, a copy of which is on the smoking gun, if you want to take a look at it, they began taking inventory of the station wagon and noticed the rear of the vehicle, along with rubbish and wet clothing. There was rubbish and wet clothing in there where pizzas were sitting to be delivered. Among the items, Bethel explained, when he finished delivering Domino's pizza, he transports diseased bodies in the same vehicle to a funeral home. A police check with local health officials determined that the use of the car for stiffs and slices.
Like they had to check with a health official. They weren't quite. They had to get a ruling from the judges on that one.
Well, he did not violate ordinances. He was not arrested, but is facing $400 in fines for driving with a suspended license.
Wait, it doesn't violate ordinances?
No, you can have a dead body and pizza in the same car.
In Pennsylvania. As long as everything, I guess, is kept at a reasonable temperature.
We don't know what the law is here.
Well, all right.
And I'm sure it happens.
This is one of those laws that you find out. Like, this happens in every state I've ever lived. Here's a true story. Every state I've ever lived in, and Oregon hasn't happened yet, but it's just a matter of time. There's been some incident involving sex with a dead person. There has been a necrophilia story, and the upshot of this is always the same. Blah, 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 arrested, yada, yada, sex with a corpse. Ba, 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 legislators discovered there was no law against it. That happened in Utah, it happened in Washington, it happened in California, and they'll always discover, they're like, well, we never thought to make it illegal. And so some guy who's out there getting it on with a stiff, they realize they can't do anything more than like go, well, don't do it again. So this is it's because no one ever thinks that you're going to be transporting hot wings to Matt Peterson on the top of a decaying body. And, you know, and these are just trial and error. This is how the more you know, really. Okay, there's your
corpse wash.
There's your corpse wash.
I'm digging up bones. I'm digging up bones. Exhuming things that's better left alone. Yeah, I'm resurrecting memories of love that's dead and gone. Yet tonight I'm sitting alone. Digging up bones.
All right. So, Scotty J screening calls for today. Here's the thing. I've got a couple calls about parachuting. We'll get to that. Now, by the way, I should have mentioned this at the top as part of my forward promo and my guaranteeing and so forth. Oh, by the way, can I just tell you?
Yes.
Listen to this. I got this guy just completely out of the blue. I got this guy who just sent me all of this station production that he just voiced. Check this out. Listen to this. I forget his name. There's some guy sent this to me. Let's check this out.
This has been our Rick Emerson Guarantees. Copyright 2006, The Rick Emerson Show.
Fantastic.
I like that.
Production like that, you can work in the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway, but so I should have done a Guarantees this earlier, but I have a copy, and our thanks to... I hope I can say something, but I don't think I'm in trouble. Thanks to our good friend Dan Bozic from KUFO, who sent this our way. But I got a copy of that new Neil Young song, the Let's Impeach the President song.
Oh, good.
Oh, cool. I should have
teased that at the beginning, and then we could have played it. And so
why don't we play it?
We should have done as part of the Bushwatch. Maybe we'll do it in the next hour. So next hour, we'll play this. It's a copy of this new song by Neil Young called right to the point with let's impeach the president. It's called Let's Impeach the President for Lying.
Is it in Spanish?
No, it's not. I haven't even listened to it, so we'll find out. We'll find out later if it's any good. So we'll play that next hour, the new Neil Young song about impeaching the president. Blah, 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 blah. Let's see. I should get these calls, though. Let's see. We'll just take Curtis. Hi, Curtis. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hi, Rick. I got a little story to tell you.
Okay.
About base jumping.
Okay. I knew it was either that or corpses. Okay. What's the story?
All right. Back in 2002, I was waiting to catch the bus downtown, and I saw a man base jump. Well, I assume it was a man base jump off the Wells Fargo building.
When is this?
2002.
You saw a guy parachute off the Wells Fargo building?
Yes, I did.
Really? And what happened? Did he die?
I don't know. I was, probably about 10 blocks away, and I saw about where he was going to land, so I tried to rush down there, but I couldn't. I didn't get there in time, so he must have, had someone waiting for him to drive off.
That's bizarre. I wonder if there's any sort of police report or record of that kind of thing.
I don't know. I watched the news that night, hoping I might be able to see something about it, but I never did.
Okay, if anybody knows about some guy base jumping off the Wells Fargo building, and base jumping is what, anything below 1,500 feet? That's what somebody said. I don't know, but it's a short height. It is not, it's not very high up. It's like 1,000 feet, something like that.
Yeah.
And this was in 2002. Well, thank you. We'll look into that. Thank you, Curtis.
All right, thanks.
All right, there you go. That's Curtis. Good times. Let's see. Let's get John. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick. I had a comment about Jeb, the base jumper.
Oh, the guy that tried to jump out of the Empire State Building. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I was watching a thing on TV the other day, and him and his buddy were base jumping, and they had those flying suits. Like the flying squirrel.
Right, right.
And they were coming along, and they were going to skim by this bridge. And Jeb made it, but his buddy just nailed it. Hit the railing.
Oh.
Splattered.
Oh, splattered. What a great word that is.
And he was just like a mist of blood, and Jeb passed through it. He noticed his shirt was wet.
Oh.
Covered in blood.
A mist of blood.
Yeah.
Is that like a pride of lions and a gaggle of geese? It's a mist of blood? Oh, that's terrible, but fantastic. That reminds me of the time that my dad used to tell this story all the time. So my dad, growing up in Kennewick, where life is cheap, it was a hot summer night, hot summer day, whatever, and they're jumping off a bridge into the river to cool off. And it's jump, splash, jump, splash. They don't notice it, but like a dead cow is floating along. Jump, right into the dead cow. Yeah, that guy had to walk home.
Only in Kennewick.
Really. Yeah, it really is true. Thank you, John.
All right.
Hey, if anybody knows anything about this guy who parachuted off the Wells Fargo building a couple years ago, you let us know about that. Well, we should probably break here. Mm-hmm. Let's break. Pardon me. We've got more on the way. What the hell are we doing? What is on the way? Ah, yes. Scott Daly's going to be here. We're going to talk about the 10 most anticipated films of the summer. We got another installment of the Xbox Files. Story about thawing corpses, sort of a supplemental corpse watch. What else? The woman who was the head of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission got arrested for drunk driving and looks like a lizard. What else? Well, news pile, Jim Roop, no one showing up to work on Monday, dogs and cats living together, and this Neil Young song about impeaching the president. You stay there. Back after this. This is Rick Emerson Show on John Tonight 70.